Hello and welcome to The Breakdown, the RTE Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. Later on, we'll be joined by Hayden Triggs, Tyler Blaindell and Aidan McCullum to preview the festive Guinness Pro 12 action. But first, a chance to relive some European highlights from last weekend.
3 minutes gone, second half. Munster winning that ball in the line-out. As the ball has popped down there towards Conor Murray, and he looks to bring it towards the 22, taken there by Tommy O'Donnell. Looked as he was off his feet. The referee's whistle has gone, and he has penalised Leicester Tigers for being in an offside position. It did look as if Tommy O'Donnell had gone in off his feet, but the referee said that Leicester had not rolled away. I think it was Brendan O'Connor, the former Auckland Blues player, who is after being penalised by the match referee, and the penalty is for Munster just outside the 22. Well, he's going to kick this one right-footed, 18 metres in from the touchline on the near side of the pitch. 4.5 minutes gone in the second half, and it's Tyler Blaindell now with the penalty as the sides are tied up at 6 points apiece. And Blaindell comes up now and keeps the head down and curls that one inside the right-hand post. That's a good kick there from Tyler Blaindell, but he took an extra little bit of time there for that what was a straightforward enough kick, Donald.
Yeah, it was a straightforward kick, but sometimes they're the ones that can prove troublesome. He didn't, you know, the two he missed in the first half, he just quit on them a little bit, but followed through straight between the posts. The perfect start for Munster, given that for the 10 minutes that Manu Tuilagi was off the field in the first half, Leicester outscored Munster by 6-0.
The line-out throw now for Leicester. Tom Youngs with the line-out throw closer to the Munster 22 than the 10-metre line. Graham Kitchener calls for this one. He's gone towards the tail end of it. Munster disrupt. The ball is back very awkwardly. Tom Youngs stumbles upon that one, and Munster pile in there to try and gather that one back. The Munster player who came in was Peter O'Mahony. The referee has blown the whistle. I thought, was he going to have a look at something? He's not. It's a penalty. The penalty is against Munster. The penalty is to Leicester Tigers on the Munster 10-metre line. 9.5 minutes gone in the second half. As Owen Williams now lines up the penalty for Leicester just outside the Munster 10-metre line. 3 points between the teams. Munster, but only just 9-6. Owen Williams then, confident kicker and a confident outside half and a terrific kicker. 2 out of 2 so far for him as he comes up now to try and level the game. Strikes this one really well, and that's an explosive kick from Owen Williams that's gone straight between the posts. The sides are tied up yet again. Munster make the changes, 9 points each at Welford Road. And it's trapped soccer style across far side. A poor kick from Tyler Blaindell. It's knocked on by a Leicester player as Munster now going to try and steal that one across on that far side. However, the referee allows play continue on. Far side of the pitch down. Leicester Tigers have control of it. Back there now with Jack Roberts. Leicester now move it on the near side. Lachlan McCaffrey pops it out now towards Peter Beetham, leaves it across towards Luke Hamilton inside the 22 metre line. Leicester sweeping from one end of the field to the other. Munster under enormous pressure now as Ellis Genge has control of it for Leicester Tigers. 15 in, the referee playing advantage. Munster will be penalised here. Has come back towards young Jack Roberts inside the 22 metre line, and now with Ben Youngs looks to gather that one. The referee's whistle is gone. It's a penalty for Leicester inside the Munster 22 metre line.
Leicester rampant at the moment, really. Munster just not able to clear their lines. A breakout from defence by Jack Roberts, who's he's very small in modern midfield terms, but I tell you, he's very nippy, great feet. He left Munster for dead, and sweeping support from the Leicester forwards. Munster again forced to give away the penalty, and worryingly, Tyler Blaindell taking a bang, and he now is getting some treatment, as is James Cronin, who's just come onto the field.
54 minutes, 14 seconds gone. Owen Williams with the penalty attempt, and he kicks this one right-footed. The crowd rise to acclaim their team, and their team, that is the home one, are into the lead by 12 points tonight.
Yeah, first time they've led, as you said, Michael, and on the balance of the second half, you know, they deserve to be where they are. Munster just standing off at the moment. This was always likely to be a test of a different kind, different circumstances. Leicester with their backs to the wall, they've come out fighting, and now 3 points ahead. pressure is on Munster now to respond.
As O'Mahony goes forward, slightly to the right-hand side of the post, the ball swept out far side as it tried to get it to Sweetman, and it's knocked on. Here's a chance here now for Leicester as they race from inside their own 22-metre line. Back there, the ball is kicked in, and Munster go chasing back after this one. Available here for Keith Earls as he takes control of it, and Keith Earls now is smashed into touch across on the far side of the pitch, and we may have a television match official referral because the Leicester Tigers player may very well have been tackled after he kicked that ball. It could very well see perhaps a yellow card or indeed a penalty against the Munster player outside the 22 far side.
One of the Munster players in trouble here is Adam Thompson, streaking up, kicks the ball. He is definitely taken out. I think it's by Simon Zeebo.
After he kicked the ball,
I think Zeebo's in trouble here.
And Simon Zeebo being spoken to by the match referee, he's been sent to the sin bin. And it's a penalty also for Leicester outside the Munster 22 far side. As Owen Williams now lines up this penalty, looks to extend the lead of Leicester Tigers, thumps it towards the post, and that kick from Owen Williams has gone between the posts. 5 out of 5 for him, and to be perfectly fair about it, that is the difference between the two teams this afternoon.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Munster, they don't have the fizz that they had last week. Leicester, as we know, there had to be a reaction from them. They've played far better without ever looking like scoring a try, but they've taken all the penalty opportunities that have come their way. 5 penalties offered to Owen Williams, 5 converted by him, and that's made up their full 15 points.
Here comes Niall Scannell with the line-out throw. Across on the far side, fires it in, taken there by Peter O'Mahony. Again, they crowd around him. Again, Munster driving, Leicester Tigers back here, back with Niall Scannell. Well, charging towards the line. Munster in possession as they have it here, and crash over the line. It's a try for Munster. I didn't see who it was, but one of the Munster players came charging through, and it was Niall Scannell, I think, who had thrown the ball into the line-out at the first time of asking. They crowded around Peter O'Mahony, and Niall Scannell came in, and Niall Scannell has taken this one and touched it down, and Munster have scored a try. A point between the teams. Tyler Blaindell with the conversion opportunity. He played 75 and a half minutes at Walford Road. A single point between the teams. And to Tyler Blaindell with the conversion chance for Munster from just outside the 22-metre line. He's 13 metres in from the touchline. Across on that far side, he slips as he kicks it. It's gone between the posts, however. He tumbled as he kicked it. There was a jeer from the crowd, but he had the last laugh. Santa Claus has come to town at Walford Road, and Munster back into the lead.
Well, an incredible conversion because his standing leg completely went from under him. To be fair to Leicester Tigers, they were out like rabbits in a greyhound track in terms of putting pressure on the kicker, but somehow it snuck over the line, but still they're not out of jail yet.
As Munster trying to get the shunt on here now, Duncan Williams looks to try and gather that one. CJ Stander takes it upon himself, goes forward with it, carries it over the halfway line, sets it up, available here. Referee's whistle is gone. Penalty against Munster for holding on. Penalty Leicester Tigers. Another roll of the dice for the Tigers at Welford Road.
Well, Brendan O'Connor has had a marvellous game, and not for the first time today. Munster just allowing the ball carrier to get cut off from the support. He got his hand in, and Leicester going for the post. Owen Williams, brilliant, 5 out of 5 so far. And this kick now is all of 53 metres, 3 metres inside his own half of the field. It is a short pitch.
We have a minute and 10 seconds remaining, and Owen Williams, we know, has got an absolutely monstrous boot. He's landed 5 kicks out of 5 so far for Leicester at Welford Road, and he has this penalty attempt 3 metres inside his own half of the pitch. This one, I would say, to win the game, as Owen Williams nudges this one, kicks it towards the post. It's gone between the posts. The crowd are up. Leicester back into the lead at Welford Road. Sometimes magical things happen when your backs are to the wall.
Like Munster, we've always been a very good club, and sometimes things go for you, sometimes they go against you. Last week, Munster were very, very good, and we were very, very poor, and they got us on a poor day, and we got them on a very good day. Today I thought it was a proper game of rugby. We could have lost, and even if we'd have lost, I'd have been proud of the performance, and my attitude wouldn't change to what I'd say now.
We almost pulled it back, and then they came and pulled it back at the end with a wonderful kick, and I think the game was a real intense game. It must have been a nice game to watch, but it's not nice being on the losing end, but I still thought there was a lot of guts shown by our guys to get back after they initially dominated the game. If you told us before the Leicester home and away, you know, six lock points we'll get out of the two games, I would have probably taken it. But then again, saying what you said, the way we played last week, well, listen, it's a world-class competition with world-class players. If you are a little bit off your game and they are 100% on their game, then the results like this will happen. You know, we played away from home against a team that's fourth in the Premiership, and in the last year were semi-finalists. So it should be. We have a reality check here, and we actually knew that's going to be tough like that.
This time it's with Jack McGrath. It's ever closer. Come out towards the right-hand side now. It's with Kirshner. Kirshner slips out. Adam Byrne. And Byrne, well, did he have a foot in touch or not? He may have got the touchdown in the right corner. Looks like he thinks he did. I suspect we'll go to the TMO.
Yeah, it looked like he got over in the corner. It was good patient work, good patient build-up from Leinster. They had a few chances earlier on. Ross Byrne played a short ball. Could have gone out the back. Easton to see was free up on the left. But I reckon they've scored in the corner there, and that's a good finish, good patience actually.
So the try has been awarded. It is an all-French team of officials. So Eric Briquet-Campan is the TMO, for what it's worth. Romain Poit, the more recognisable person for our listeners, who is the match official taking charge of the game. And he stands now behind Ethan Nathewa, who from very, very close to the right touchline will try to turn Adam Byrne's 5 points into seven. One of the most difficult kick perhaps for a right-footed kicker. And Nathewa runs forward, kicks it, and it's going to miss to the right-hand side, but still no shame in the difficulty of that conversion, not landing it, and a very, very confident start from Leinster. Well, they've one shot now at getting the fourth try, because the 40 minutes are up in the first half as Sean Cronin, 5 metres out, throws into the line. Van der Fleer takes. Will they go with Cronin at the base of them all again? Well, they won't. They don't have to, because Sean O'Brien has squirmed out of the pile of bodies and dived over, and Leinster have got a fourth try. They 27-13 with a conversion to come, and the game is probably put to bed, despite Leinster being well behind midway through the half. And Leinster again with Gibson Park. Possible kick towards the corner. Nathewa chase up on Ross Byrne. And it spills behind his try line by Ken Peasey. Nathewa had near... Well, he did the right thing. He didn't give up on it, but it was a handy catch. It was an attempted cross-field kick for Nathewa. Wasn't that well executed. Peasey behind his try line. God, I'd have caught it. My granny would have caught it. He dropped it, and Nathewa followed up a touchdown.
So, two wins out of four for the Irish provinces in Europe. Some work to be done yet in terms of making the knockout stages of the competition. Well, some standout performances last weekend that impressed the former Ireland and Leinster back row, Aidan McCullen.
Yeah, it was something we spoke about, and I suppose I expected him a little bit more bottle, a little bit more show up, but there was nothing there. And I was at the game, and there's people kind of going, oh, we're in trouble here. And it's kind of going, are you kidding me? These guys are going to crack. And it just came in a big way. You wouldn't usually crack a team like that maybe until 10 minutes to go into the second half or 10 minutes into the second half. And they just cracked so early. And it was a romp. Like, there was no competition there in the end.
There's been a lot of criticism of Northampton for the team that was selected. Some people saying that, you know, the field of the weekend team, I suppose on the other side of that, you could see that they were trying to give some international players a bit of a rest. But the reality is that, you know, a lot of the combinations, a lot of the players that they had playing were first-team players.
Yeah, and the thing with that is, like, we've seen this time and time again. We usually criticise the French teams for that. And Northampton, I suppose they're bigger fish to fry in the end. They were going to, like, we're going to lose this game. And it's one of these things, it's like he who pays the piper calls the tune. And in a way, I always feel this, we're privileged in Ireland a bit because the provinces are effectively owned by the RFU. So the greater good is always there. And that's not the same. When you look at Toulon and you look for French teams, you look at English teams owned by private individuals, it changes a little bit, and it's a bit of financial thing as well. And that very much changes how people approach games, how coaches approach games. the kind of influence. You don't know what kind of background politics are going on. So there's all that to throw into the mix that's not really talked about, but it has an effect in the end of the day.
Having said that, I mean, you know, we have to give full credit to Leinster. They can only play the 15 players who were put in front of them. And, I mean, they're in a pretty rich vein of form at this moment in time.
Yeah, and it's reflective of Irish rugby, I think. And, like, when you look at some of the stuff, you look at the stage of development we're at when you have Peter Smith and people like that in the Leinster branch of the IRFU looking at older, mature, late bloomer players. I think that's fantastic. Like, I mean, we never were there. We were usually picking the cream of the crop as it was coming out of school. Those guys were put into the academy and that was it. And then you filled in the blanks with foreign players. Now we're actually going back, looking again, looking for late bloomers, looking at the club side, looking at the youths, looking across places where we never looked for players before. That is a fantastic place to be, and you have to tip the cap to the IRFU and for the vision and the way that's all coming to fruition at the moment.
When you look and think back maybe at that Leicester-Munster match at Welford Road, it was a match that Munster never really kind of got out of third gear. They almost lost it, almost won it, but then did lose it at the end. It was a bizarre last 5 minutes.
Yeah, and games like that, sometimes, and I've been in these games sometimes where you go and you don't expect much out of yourself, and it's a terrible thing to say that actually happens. It does. But some games people approach, and the mental side is the 5% between winning and losing a lot of time. And that game was not approached that it'd be won by Munster. You can safely say that. And they've probably found themselves in a position going, we could actually win this. I've actually been in matches where coaches have said that, Michael, and it's crazy that and I hope that's gone out of the game more and more, but it certainly was twinges of that there. There was hints of it, and Munster in the end kind of went, we could actually win this. And it kind of was a late surge in a way, but if they approached that game the way they did the home game, that would have been a lot different as a result.
I spoke to Razzie Erasmus after the match, and he said to me, you know, if before these series of matches that actually started that you had said, you know, that Munster would have got 6 points in the back-to-back matches against Leicester Tigers, they would have accepted that. And I mean, that, you know, that the reality is they can't actually be too hard on themselves either.
No, and again, going back to you said about Leinster and their game against Northampton and giving guys, younger guys, games and bringing them through the system. When you look at Munster are still mid regrowth phase. I mean, they're regrowing that team. They're rebuilding that team. They've been on such a high and having such a pedigree of mature, blooded players for such a long time. They're still going through this, and they're still playing around with combinations and different players. And I think that's where he's coming from, is going with that stage in our development as a team. You definitely have taken those points, and he probably didn't see it come himself. He would have been happy to take one game, and I don't think he would have ever expected a bonus from the second.
Just to finish on that point, I mean, people, it was like 7 games in a row, 7 victories in a row for them. You know, I was talking to a fellow in Birmingham on Friday night, and he said to me, you know, the best thing could happen Munster actually is to lose the match soon, because, you know, the expectation level, you know, and the pressure heaped on the players is absolutely immense when you win on a continuous basis.
Yeah, and when you look back to some teams, like, let's take someone like Leicester 10 years ago or Toulouse 10 years ago, they just went out and won, and it was the fact that they were almost winning games without even showing up half the time, because people wouldn't put out a strong team, or they'd accept they'd lose. Or to go back to what we talked about earlier, that the opposition would approach the game as if they're going to lose it anyway. And that is such an immense, powerful thing to have on your side. But on the flip side, if you're not used to it, which this team hasn't been, it takes a while to get used to it. And the Munster of old, and I suppose Leinster a couple of years ago, were very much used to back-to-back wins. But it takes a while to get used to that mantle and to wear those clothes well.
There's no doubt that the game in the sports grounds between Connacht and Wasps, I mean, you know, the Connacht backs literally were to the wall in that. We know there's been a sort of controversial circumstance, but as Pat Lamb said, you know, at the end of the game in which, you know, the final try and conversion was scored, but as Pat Lamb said, that was nothing to do with them, but they needed a performance and they got one.
Yeah, it was immense. And like, in a way, and I don't want to be putting pressure on Irish rugby, but there's so many plates, positive plates spinning on sticks, and Connacht's one of those. And again, when you look at Connacht in the past, it was very much, you know, the guys who didn't make the other provinces. And I know that won't go down well, but that's what it was 10 years ago. And now it's guys who are going there to play. The culture's great. There's fantastic young talent there getting games in this competition, in top competitions, beating the top teams in Europe. And it was the way they won, not just how they played, but the way the sports ground rose. It was like Munster in the 90s and the noughties. It was that kind of atmosphere of winning, and that had such an immense power in the game. And it was the way they played. I mean, we talked about this before, Michael. Like when we said Connacht would beat Toulouse, people thought we were nuts a few months ago, and they did. You know, this is in them. These guys are well capable of this, and it's the fashion in which they play, despite Pat Lam's departure and all that kind of stuff. And they came out and they absolutely won. And if you look on paper at the experience and the caps in that Wasp team, to come away with that victory was immense. And you know, we talked about it. We'd seen it coming, but I have to say, watching the game 50 minutes in, I was kind of going, oh, I got this one wrong, because I didn't see them pulling it out. And you know, with the sin binnings and stuff like that, I just went, oh, this is not going to plan. But it's just that you have to put yourself at the table, and this is what Pat Lam was talking about. You have to put yourself at the table, and they were at the table when the time came in that last minute.
In terms of, you know, we will look at it round 5 and 6 a little bit later on, you know, in this whole series, but with 13 points each at the top of the table, Wasp, Toulouse, Connacht, and Connacht having a home game against Zebre, you will kind of get the impression that Connacht are going to be there until at least the last day of round 6.
Yeah, and it's that belief, like, you know, it's like so many perfect elements of this for Connacht in beating Leinster last year, in winning the league. And they're constantly proving themselves. Mm. These aren't flashes in the pans, which they used to be in the past. You know, a couple of years ago, beating Toulouse in Toulouse, they were all flash in the pans. It was like, great, oh, it's great. And then they go out and get hammered the week after. This is in their blood now. This is in the culture. And this is, we talk about this a lot, is the culture of a squad of players, or the culture of a club. And they've built their culture and they've laid it down. And the one thing I'd be worrying about is John Muldoon coming to the end of his career, because he is one of those talismanic kind of figures, talisman figures, and you need somebody like that on a constant basis. And they need to really look at succession plans for people like that. And I'm not putting the nail in the coffin, I still think he's got some juice in the tank, but people like that are so important to the culture of a side. You need leaders like that, and they need to be looking to the future and beyond Pat Lam, because Pat Lam inherited this team of players, he gelled them, he brought them together, but you also need the players to be there to take on. So they need to be looking at that.
The Claremont Ulster match in Stade Marcel Michelin was a perfect example of how not to play the opening 25 minutes of any game against any French team when you play them at home, because I mean the match effectively was all over at that stage.
Yeah, and like what we talked about earlier on about Munster going to Leicester, I don't think Ulster expected to win that game, and they probably kicked themselves after a while, because they basically handed the lead over, and the French teams tend to battle for a while, and if you actually stay in the game for a long time, that it's like a 60-minute kind of tipping point in most games, and if you stay in the game till then, anything can happen in the French club. But if you actually give them a head start, like what happened in that game, it's very, very hard to come back from, because they absolutely expect to win. And we always talk about the mental side of this. The French clubs expect to win at home. It's a strange thing, strange phenomenon. That's what they do. They go, at the start of the year, every club sits down and they go, these are the games we'll win, these are the games we expect to lose. And again, that's not right, but that's what happens. And if you can upset them early in the game, you keep the opposition out of the game as long as possible, anything can happen on the French side, and Ulster just didn't show up in that early stage of the game.
Just talk to me about Clermont for a second and their whole mental thing, because, you know, Marcel Michelin as a stadium is a fantastic place. There's a big empathy there between the team and the players, and we know they play in a certain way and with a certain mentality. However, the opposite is quite the truth. I mean, if you were to play Claremont in a quarter-final, you'd like to have them away from there, wouldn't you? Because they seem as if you kind of flick a switch.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. And they've, I think one of the reasons Claremont are in a rich vein of form is because they have and so many foreigners in the side. And, you know, certainly I was under no illusions going to Toulouse that I was there to play the away games. They bring in foreigners to play the away games because a foreigner doesn't care, doesn't have that mentality. And again, it's one of these things you don't talk about, but it's actually true, is you're brought in to play those away games because you will play out of your skin every game. It doesn't matter if it's home or away. And you don't have this kind of mindset or culture that's been built up of essentially throwing mentally those away games. And if you can get the French out of their country earlier on, and it's even goes into the country, so if you can get them out of their country in a quarter or a knockout stage, they're again, they have that mentality of we don't really know what we'll get out of this, and if things don't go their way early in the game, they tend to throw the game or certainly capitulate in some way.
There are two rounds of the Guinness Pro 12 taking place over the course of the festive period. Ulster and Connacht kick off the action in Kingspan Stadium on Friday night, Ulster making five changes in the pack for the visit of the champions. Andy Warwick, Rodney Ayew, Kieran Treadwell, Clive Ross and Roger Wilson are all named. Connacht will be without Bundy Aki, ruled out for up to 2 months with an ankle injury. Donnie Poolman partners Rory Parata in the centre. The top two meet in Thomond Park on St Stephen's Day, where the hosts have installed extra seating to cater for the crowd. The game, incidentally, is live on RTE Radio 1. Munster haven't lost a game in the competition since the loss at the Aviva Stadium. Leinster, meanwhile, are the last team to beat Munster in Thomond Park. It was this time last year. Tyler Blaindell has an 83% kicking percentage so far.
We obviously had a great performance the week before. We didn't perform last weekend and we were beaten by a better Leicester team on the night, which is disappointing. But look, we've got a big game this weekend to look forward to.
I guess it's one of those things, isn't it? You've got to, you know, when you look at it, the weeks before that, there was a lot of consistency there in terms of everything you did, and that just wasn't there last weekend. You've got to look upon that as a blip or one-off.
Exactly, yeah. We were building nicely. We had a good stretch of games and performances, but, I mean, look, we just didn't turn up to the extent we needed to, and then we still had a chance to win the game, and I think that was even more disappointing, is that we maybe could have snatched it at the end, but fair play to Owen Williams, he got the kick at the end, which is great.
How important is it that you're not too hard on yourselves, that you don't kind of beat yourself up too much thinking about it, because you've got to close the page and move on? There's a pretty big game coming down the track.
It's a big game, but we'll be brutally honest, especially when we get stuck into these meetings and review, and we have to fix certain aspects of our game, make big improvements, because the challenge that Leinster will pose to us will be very similar, very physical, and they've also been a great attacking team the past few weeks, so we have to be on the game.
And in terms of, say, intensity, maybe it was not where it should have been last weekend. You certainly can't afford to play or turn up like that for the game against Leinster.
Yeah, look, that's a non-negotiable. We have to up our intensity massively, and it wasn't where it needed to be against Leicester over in Welford Road, and we're going to have to improve that for sure.
When you look at the intensity level between, or the rivalry rather, between the two teams, I mean, it's something that's kind of pretty special. You've been involved in one or two at this stage.
Yeah, very special. I mean, to play, I think, last year, an awesome atmosphere, a disappointing result, and then Aviva this year was, again, just a massive crowd. It's a big rivalry, a lot at stake on these games, and we're looking for a big improvement, and we're very excited for the game as well. We can't wait, and Stephen's Day affair is awesome.
I know that the crowd aren't going to win the game for you, but the fact that the sold-out signs are up again for, what is it, the fourth Munster game in a row at this stage, I mean, you know, people are obviously quite anxious to see what you do firsthand.
Yeah, look, we love playing in front of our home crowd. They're awesome support for us, and to have it sold out, and I think it's an extra 100 on the previous record at Thomond Park, it's going to be unbelievable, and we need to put a performance out there for those supporters that come down.
I know for some of the other lads who are involved in both teams, it's almost like an international trial, if you understand, you know, given the fact that some of them are going for the same positions. You're slightly removed from that, exactly. at this moment in time, but you can still kind of appreciate the intensity level.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, guys won't be playing as individuals. I think if as a team we perform well, the guys will put their hand up that way, and look, we're going to have to go out there as a collective and try and win this game as a team, you know, and through that we need individuals to shine and show us what they've got. So look, that's what we're looking forward to.
And when you consider what happens on the pitch, how difficult or otherwise is it to maintain your calmness and your composure? I mean, when you wear jersey 10, you're in a really big, strong decision-making position.
Yeah, I guess it's our role is let the other guys try, and they're kind of on the front line of the battle, and as a 10 you really have to facilitate the game and try and put the team in the best position to win, and nothing changes from the past however long we've been playing this season. And look, I mean, as I said, we look for a response this week and individuals to really step up, and we're looking for a solid team performance.
And the fact that it is the top two teams in the ladder so far, I mean, it says a lot about where Irish rugby are in terms of this competition.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I think Leinster have been playing great rugby in both competitions as well, and to go back to the league and we're top two teams, and then you've got the rivalry, and there's a lot at stake. It's a really great game, and again, a sold-out crowd. It's just going to be a great occasion.
And before that, there's the 25th of December. It's Christmas. I know you've been away from New Zealand for a couple of years now at this stage, but what are your plans? Razzie is talking about being away for the very first time.
Yeah, look, it's a completely different experience, Christmas, being over here. Obviously, it's summer and you've got the barbecues out in New Zealand. So, look, we've got my partner Laura's family over, and we'll have a somewhat of a family Christmas, and just on the other side of the world, it'll be good.
Yeah, but you'll have the day job in the back of your mind, I'm sure.
Look, it's a massive game, but we try and switch off and relax as much as possible, and then come game day, I mean, that's got to be one of the skills you learn or develop, is how to switch on and perform when the big occasion arrives.
Leinster have won their last three games against Munster, a record they will certainly hope to continue next Monday. If involved, Hayden Triggs will certainly have a big part to play.
It's been a good couple of weeks, with the Pro 12 and the last couple of European matches, like, we're getting better. We're not the finished product just yet, but we're playing decent footy, and you know, we're holding our own. Like, we're getting better. That's a good thing, yeah.
And you're certainly learning, aren't you? And I mean, can you talk about the importance of, say, having a fellow like Stuart Lancaster around the place, a different voice for a lot of people?
Yeah, not only a different voice, but a different mind. The man's a very accomplished coach in his own right. Before he got here, we're learning every day, I guess. Not just him, but all the coaching team are really pushing us to get better in all facets. And you know, for some of us, it's pushing us to the edge. And I think we're getting a bit more comfortable at the edge. And like, I feel like we're playing good rugby. You know, we're doing well set piece. Our defense is decent, and our we scored 60 points in a Europe match, so you know, we must be attacking pretty well.
And you look like a team and like a squad who are enjoying what you're doing. I'm not saying you're in a comfort zone, but because you're being pushed, you're reacting in terms of your performance.
Yeah, winning helps with that, definitely. But like, there's been a few comments made already that we're, you know, no disrespect to the lads that were here last year or the squad from last year, but we're really enjoying this year, and we feel a bit tighter. We feel you know, what we're doing at training is resonating in the game, so that kind of gives you a bit of, you know, pleasure out of doing the hard work at training. It's a good bunch. I mean, we've got 50-odd players that have played for us this year. They're all adding their own. We're all adding our own little value to the team, I guess, and it's fun. I mean, winning does make, you know, it'll test when we have to lose. It'll test us for sure, but hopefully that doesn't come too soon.
And the next game down the track is the top two in the Pro 12. I mean, that, to use our phrase, should be fun.
Yeah, man, like, it's a marketer's dream, I guess, for the club and for Munster as well. Top two teams, both top attacking teams, pretty good defence, both gone well in Europe. So, you know, not only for us, but for Irish rugby, I guess it's a good sign.
These local derby matches, regardless of where you play them in the world, it's like playing against your cousins or even your brothers.
Yeah, like, I guess for the Irish lads, but I mean, I'm from New Zealand on the other side of the world, but I knew about Leinster versus Munster. So it's going to be cracking. Like, it's a bit hard going over to there, I guess, like into their backyard, but speaking to the lads today, like, It's a massive test, and it's a massive test that everybody's looking forward to. I think I've said it before, but this is the best club I've ever been to. No disrespect to New Zealand, but the depth we have in this club,
like 17 internationals played against the Wallabies and the All Blacks, and we're still, you know, doing well in the Pro 12. We've got, you know, five debutants to Irish rugby this year in the last series. The amount of young, like the amount of work the young kids can do here and step up when it's their time, it's a credit to this club, and like facilities and stuff is world class. So.
The four games over Christmas will see some squad rotation across all of the teams. That in itself presents its own challenges, according to Aidan McCullen.
We talked about this last week, Michael. Like, it's a silly season in business. It's unbelievably silly in sport because all these different combinations you're not used to, they're not prepared for a lot of the time. And like, I'd be confident being Leinster after a performance against Northampton because they've actually got these guys playing together already. But it's almost the approach of you're playing with two separate sides, and some guys are going out and enjoying their Christmas drinks, and there's this kind of tug in a squad of, oh, there's other guys training, there's guys resting on the sideline. And it, certainly in the past, that was always this kind of battle, and coaches struggled to actually put everybody on the pitch in the training pitch before games and have the guys who usually running into tackle bags, holding the tackle bags, because guys aren't used to that. And there's this whole mental kind of battle going on in squads, and that has an effect on the pitch at the end of the day. And if you think about this, if you think about so many players, say somebody like Louis Picamo. So Louis Picamo, if you had picked him on Leinster side against Northampton, right, so you say he was playing for Leinster, he would have played out of his absolute skin. And if you think about that at a squad level, and you're kind of going, some guy who's been waiting for his opportunity all the time, and now he gets his opportunity, but he's got his opportunity in a team that's not the starting team. It's a difficult thing for a guy to try and break through in, because he's not in the usual squad, and the patterns and the lineup breaks down, the scrum breaks down a little bit because it's not used to playing together. And it's funny that way, because you end up losing games because guys aren't used to playing to each other. They're used to training together, but they're not used to playing together. And it's a very, very different thing. And that's why you see all these kind of weird combinations and losses you don't expect. And I remember Connacht used to always do well at Christmas time. This is, again, going back 10 years ago, because they always played the same team because they didn't have a second team. Yeah. You know, and that's why you see teams like that winning at Christmas time. And I suppose the more higher up the echelon a team is, the more upsets you see from them. And it's a funny one. But, you know, Connacht, again, going up to Ulster, that's going to be a massive battle, because Connacht are just on this roll, you know, and injuries might play an element. The mental part of Christmas might play an element. Maybe some people won't be used to kind of playing over Christmas and that kind of side. So you never know what's going to happen. Mm. And it's you know, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't be certainly wasting my money at Christmas.
I kind of get the impression that Connacht will fancy this one, simply because of the fact that Ulster have played last Sunday in Claremont, that have travelled back late Sunday night, won't have had an awful lot kind of to do in terms of Monday or time to do anything, will have had very little time to train this week. I know they'll have built that into their preparation, but they know that, you know, they didn't perform well in the opening half an hour away last weekend. Connacht will know that they had a really good performance, a victory over a team who were second in the Aviva Premiership table. All of the pressure is on Ulster to perform in Belfast.
Yeah, and that has a huge element again. And also, I always look at the age profile of a team when I'm making decisions, if somebody asks me who's going to win or lose, because the younger players are almost naive enough to win, if you know what I mean. I know that sounds ridiculous, but They don't have any preconceived notions. And it was like we were talking about foreign players playing in France earlier on, that they don't have any preconceived notions of a win or loss, or you know, Christmas in the old days, the way it used to be, you know, and got lads heading out for a few points and all that kind of stuff. Those days are kind of over, but the older players will still hang on to that. And sometimes when you have older players playing, they have that in the back of their head as well, and they don't expect so much. But the pressure element is huge as well, because you end up start thinking about the game too much. You end up start thinking about, should I throw that pass, should I not? Should I pick this kind of line out? What should we do with this? Well, when you're in the flow and you're just playing well, you just did what you did last week. And then you start, just stuff happens. And that's what happens in games. And this is where you see kind of lineouts collapsing. And I mean just in a game, you see a team that would be usually brilliant in lineout losing six in a row or whatever, or their lineout just not showing up on the day. True combinations they pick, true different combinations over Christmas, but also that pressure. If there's more pressure on the home side, they often crack.
Now, for the fourth time in a row, three in Thomond Park, one in Cork, Munster going to have the sold-out sign-up for a home fixture, which, I mean, hasn't happened for a number of seasons, to be fair about it. The fact that it's Leinster obviously come to town makes it all that more attractive, but certainly people are voting with their feet in their pockets to return to Thomond Park, albeit for their own reasons, to see their local team play.
Yeah, it's fantastic, because it's not like corporate Celtic Tiger stuff, you know. It's people who are actually genuinely getting behind the team again. And when you think about the kind of bad times when it was half full, you know, and or not even, that would be great if it was. But this is people going there, and the team's playing well again. And it's just that regrowth stage we talked about. They're on the ascendancy. They're getting there again. And this is essential to the team as well, to see that the fans are behind them, because that has an unbelievable, you know, money can't buy effect for a team.
I was talking to Hayden Triggs during the week, and he said to me, listen, I'm from the other side of the world. I'm from Wellington. But even before I came over here, I'd heard of Leinster and Munster. You know, I mean, it's reached parts that other games don't reach.
That's brilliant to hear, and it is. It's an unbelievable battle. But and this is the great thing about Irish rugby now. Every interpro, the interpros of the years gone by, like 20 years ago, when there was no Celtic League and Rabo League and all that kind of stuff and European Cup, there was none of that. It was just interpro, and then you played for your country. It's but like that again, isn't it? It's like because the competition between every province and because of the strength and depth. Every one of those games is now like a trial, whites against blues or for Ireland, or whites against greens, to actually get your place for Ireland. And that's what, going back to putting this all together, what we talked about, Dyerfew have done such great work from a grassroots level, from a youth level, from picking mature players, from bringing in the right foreign players, that now we have this place where we have actually four really competitive teams.
And before we finish up, can I just ask you about the mentality of, you know, training alongside fellas at international camp? They're your mates. You could be sharing a room with them. You're off having a coffee with them. You're on the pitch. You'll go to the well together. You know, you'll defend against the opposition together. But when it comes to a local derby match, the fella who you've gotten to know so well and is your best pal for ages is on the other side of the fence for 90 minutes. I mean, what kind of mentality do you have to come into these games with?
Yeah, I've been asked that question before off the mic, and I say, you know, these lads who play AstroTurf soccer in a five-a-side, you know, he might be your best, maybe you take the legs off him. And it's the same. It's actually almost the stakes are higher, because there's this personal pride of, I'm going to absolutely smash him. So he knows how good a tackler I am, or how good a ball carrier I am, or how great an offload I can get away. And because you know him, actually, the stakes just get higher, because it's this thing of, I have to go into camp and I want to be able to stand tall and let him know that how good a player I am. So it raises stakes, and that's why you see this immense hits, you see huge carries, and you see huge battles at Christmas time.
Munster against Leinster is live on RTE Radio 1. That's on Monday, December the 26th from 5:30. From myself, Michael Corcoran, and producer Andrew O'Connor, have a great Christmas and best wishes for 2017.